This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Jacka, Joy 94.9 would like to acknowledge and pay respect to the sovereign peoples of the past, present and future generations of the Kulin Nations on whose unceded land we work, live and broadcast from. We would also like to acknowledge all our brother boys and sister girls of the LGBTI communities. A silent storm begins to brew in an ancient land of darkness. With tumultuous force from the crust of the earth, two worlds come together as one, from the past and the present, celebrating culture and spirit, paving the pathway to our future. It's time for dreaming. Urban dreaming. Finding your voice. Finding your spirit. Joy 94.9.
You are on Urban Dreaming, Joy 94.9. Thank you so much to the guys from World Wide Wave taking us through until right now. We've got a big show coming up tonight, but Siri and Miscellaneous have left me flying solo. So we have some very special guests in the studio tonight. We're joined by actor Matt Coleman. Thank you so much for joining us, Matt.
Hello, hello. No worries.
You're going to help drive the ship.
Yeah, apparently that's what I'm going to try.
Which I really appreciate. Otherwise, it would just be me talking to myself.
Nah, and that would be boring. I've got plenty of stuff to say.
Excellent. And we've also joined by an amazing poet, Robin Murray. Thank you so much for coming in tonight.
Oh, hi. Hi. I'm very excited.
That's good. And we've got some poetry coming up for you a little bit later on. We're going to hear your story. I'm really excited to hear all that.
Excellent.
Right. Now, let's get into... We'll just go straight into a track. This is Cuppy. They are from Irindju Band. They're from the Nunundurra lands out in Western Australia. And this is their... Cuppy means water. So it's a song about the rain coming in to community. You're on Joy 94.9.
We'll be right back.
That's Cuppy from Irinju Band on Joy 94.9. You're listening to Urban Dreaming across Melbourne and streaming on the joy.org.au website or available via the Joy app. Join us on the conversation. Text in 0427 Joy 949 or email onair@joy.org.au and keep up to date with us on Facebook /Urban Dreaming. Also, don't forget, if you missed an episode, head to iTunes, download the Urban Dreaming podcast there and give us a 5-star rating while you're at it. Hey, let's kick off the show with a bang, I reckon. Let's give out some tickets. All the last few weeks we've been talking about the Urimboy Festival, all the artists coming in to town for it. It's an amazing cultural event and there are lots of great shows. Matt, you haven't got to a show yet?
No, I haven't. I've been super busy. I'd love to go though.
Yes.
I'd love to go and see all of the shows.
Yeah.
There's not even one in particular, but just all of it. Just want to be around the energy.
And Robin, you were saying you caught someone's Black Smoke.
Chasing Smoke.
Chasing Smoke, sorry.
Which is the Circus Oz, sort of event. And that was completely and utterly booked out in every way. Like, there was a crowd of people I was helping out at the ticket desk on opening night. It was full on. It was amazing. But I caught the very last couple of minutes, stuck my head in the curtain. it's just mind-blowing. And everyone's talking about it, and they're really thinking about maybe seeing if they could take that show on tour. It's been so successful.
I'm so bummed I didn't get to see that. I actually genuinely believed it was on this weekend, so I had it in my head. I'm gonna go see Chasing Smoke this
week. Yeah, same. Why wouldn't you just have it on the weekend? A couple more shows.
Don't know.
If you're listening, Black Smoke.
So we've got a couple of tickets to give away here now. You were practicing, Matt, how to say this. So yeah. I'm gonna let you go for it.
Oh, look, excuse me, Urban Dreamers. Look, this is the La Vie Danse Une Marionette by White Face Crew at the Meat Market. I was having a read of the synopsis, and it sounds amazing. It says, "Welcome to the surreal world of the pianist and the puppet. Packed full of gags, hilarious moments and surprises, you'll be on the edge of your seat and drawn into an epic, melodramatic world of our two protagonists. It's performed with buckets of charm by White Face Crew coordinators Jared Rawiri, Justin Hau and Tama Jarman. La Vie Theatre, clowning, dance and live theatre in A Tale of Lonely Pianists and the Puppet. He buys to keep in company." How incredible does that sound?
It sounds amazing, and people can go to it. All you have to do is, we're going to just give it, the first person to text or email us on 0427 Joy 949 or email onair@joy.org.au. The first one to hit the inbox gets this double pass to that show.
Yeah, go and do it. I mean, come on this adventure with us. 0427 Joy 949 or onair@joy.org.au. The Urimboy Festival, you don't want to miss it, and this is an incredible show.
So, Matt, let's begin by talking a little bit about you.
Yeah. Well, where do you want to start?
I don't know, probably at the beginning.
Start at the beginning. Well, my name's Matt, and I'm a Wiradjuri man from country New South Wales. I grew up predominantly in Wagga Wagga. Means land of many crows, and my family from the Brungle Mission. And my story starts not that long ago. I don't know how old I sound on air, but I'm only 28, and for about the first 25 years of my life, I wasn't really able to talk about my culture or my Indigenous heritage. So I've been having this really exciting past 3 years of diving right into culture. To see what I've been missing out on.
You said something interesting, and I hope you don't mind me saying, but on air, but you're one of 10 children. You're the only member of your family who identifies as Aboriginal.
Yeah. So I've got 5 brothers and 5 sisters, and then there's me, old Matt in the middle. They don't identify for varying reasons. And unfortunately for my family, it's quite close-minded, the reason that they don't. Had a couple of run-ins with a few unsavory characters, and suddenly that is our entire culture. That's everyone tarred with the same brush. And you know, it's so sad that my siblings and look, when I go home, I chat all about it, and I'm forever telling them Dreamtime stories or talking about culture and kind of just sprinkling them with a little bit of it to hopefully open their minds up. Because that's all it is that they just have such a closed mind about, you know, who we are as a nation, as the First Nations people, just based on a few small interactions.
So you started learning more about your culture and your people and more, I guess, about your whole identity at the age of 25.
Yeah.
How do you go about doing that? How does that journey even begin?
Mate, it's hard. So, you know, when we're growing up and we're the kids that are just like, why? Why, Mum? Why, Dad? Why is the sky blue? Why is the grass green? Why? And your parents start to say, just because, and don't sort of tell you any more than that. My family sort of started at my great-grandmother, and I was like, but why? Like, she had to come from somewhere. The old stork didn't drop her off. She wasn't found in the cabbage patch. And so ultimately it got to finding out, asking the hard questions and getting the yes, the hard yes, that this is our history. And then it was a matter of surrounding myself or trying to surround myself with people with knowledge that were comfortable and open to sharing that with me. So talking to some of the Wiradjuri elders, trying to find a community here in Melbourne. You know, not being from Melbourne, it's hard. And then also being a grown adult, then going to try and learn about culture and my history was tough. So I sort of just started asking the questions, and over time, I've managed to land now in with a nice, loving, Indigenous creative family from all around Australia, which are, you know, helping me to understand me and my story, and that's all it's about, really.
So it sounds like the creative elements of your culture is actually what's introducing you to your culture.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, storytelling is the very essence of our history, of our culture. That's how we learn. That's how we've grown for, you know, the 60,000 to 80,000 years we've been around. We've just been telling these stories and connecting to the land. And when you find people who do that for a living, and I think that's why I became an actor, because I have this innate passion for storytelling, and just feeling the energy around me and getting that story out there. And so absolutely through these creative endeavors and meeting these other creatives who are not afraid, who are unapologetically bold in sharing their stories and their culture for the new generation, so that we can shape the minds of the young, not to repeat history, but also they're willing to share that with me, which is so, so heartwarming and beautiful.
And you've kind of come full circle to the point where now you're passing it on in workshops and acting. And
Yeah. So I am very privileged that I get to go into kindergartens and teach 3-year-olds right up into retirement villages and teach a bit of dance, art and culture here in Melbourne, in New South Wales. Actually, across all of Australia, I get the opportunity to do that. And then also, I've managed to land myself with a really great, creative team that are taking, beautifully written Indigenous plays into schools to teach as well. You know, Jack Charles and No Sugar. We've just finished that one off today, which was a beautiful, hard, but beautiful, story and performance to put on.
Give us in a nutshell, what's that one?
Oh my goodness. Well, it follows two Indigenous families from WA who get taken off their homes and moved into Jack Davis. Yeah. Oops. I was reading another piece of paper, Urban Dreamers, that had the other name on it. So it's Jack Davis's play. But anyway, what happens, thank you, is that they get taken from their family, put into missions. There's lots of beatings and lots of atrocities. We'll try and keep this pretty upbeat, but it's a very tough kind of play to sort of talk about. Touches on the stolen generation, touches on you know, the atrocities between the white and the black and what we sort of missed out on. You know, even from the young kids, with things as simple as, you know, can we have more money because the shop only gives us the crappy little apples, and the white kids get the the better ones, or the Wadjalas, as they're called in the play. So, you know, it's sort of, it's all-encompassing of culture.
You're on Urban Dreaming, Joy 94.9. We're talking to Matt Coleman. Matt Coleman's going to take the reins after this, and we're going to be talking to Robin Murray, poet, real soon. You're on Joy 94.9. That is from Bush Bands Bash 2016. That is Sandhill Women. on Joy 94.9 there. A female trio from Tennant Creek. You're listening to Urban Dreaming, streaming on joy.org.au or available via the Joy app. Give us a text in 0427 Joy 949 or email onair@joy.au. Matt, we've got some tickets to give away.
Yeah, we do. We've got some tickets for Yirrumboy Festival, Thursday the 11th of May at the Meat Market at 8:30 p.m. Sarumi and Miscellaneous aren't in. I'm in today. So come and play with me. 0427 Joy 949 so that you can pick up those tickets for Yirrumboy.
They only get the tickets to Yirrumboy, though. They don't get tickets to you.
Well, I might go to Yirrumboy. It's two tickets. You can take me along.
Okay, there you go. Done.
I do want to see something.
Text us in 0427 Joy 949 for those tickets.
All right. We've got a... I'm a special guest, but I've invited a more special guest than me along. I've got one of my really great friends here, poet, actress, dancer, Robin Murray. Say hello, Robin.
Hey, Matt. Hey, everybody.
How you doing?
Oh, not too bad.
That's the way. So, Robin, just tell us a little bit about who you are.
I was thinking a really easy way for me to tell you who I am is just a couple of years ago, I sat down and tried to think about what that was and wrote a little poem about it. So I could start off by giving you a little poem that gave you a bit of an understanding of who I am and where I came from and why I believe.
Yeah, great. All right, guys. Well, hopefully you this will tantalize your earbuds. We've got her in here. She's an incredible poet. So let's find out who Robin Murray is with her piece of poetry. What's this one called, Robin?
It's called My Earth.
All right, take it away.
Okay. I sprang from the earth in a world filled with strife. He crossed the great water and brought me to life. I'm rife with these genes born of long-suffering souls. She crossed the Bass Strait with a sail full of holes. There'll be no black offspring, yet still she bore four. Three hail from the dreamtime, one's kept from kin's door. A history was stolen so some could save face. Baba Yangu Mpendwa, no child for his race. I fell to the earth in a late 60s town with folks who knew nothing about skin so brown. And I'm raised with the knowledge that this ain't my home by folks who would fear me for hair I can't comb. Go back to your country and where are you from? You don't belong here. It's an endless old song. And it's not just the Anglos, have all had a go. The migrants and students, indigenous, and so I don't need her pity, for I have grown strong. There's fire in my eyes that transmutes every wrong. My father's revenge and my mother's taru, white Australia's failure to lighten the hue. Still, this is my country. The earth called me here. The laws of all nature will challenge our fear. With what moves our hearts since before we had time. With what makes me human and lends me to rhyme. I stand in two worlds across every divide, from colour to gender to casting aside these overdrive lies that keep us from friends, from ism to schism, let's mend these old trends. And we can't speak of hope because it requires belief. When it turns from the truth, it brings no one relief. From bully to hater to lovely fine souls, it's time we surrendered and stopped scoring own goals. I sing from the earth to a man who's grown cold. We write a new future that cannot be sold. I'm older and bolder. I've lived so much pain that I can see clearer when clouds threaten rain. And let all who have known me and seen me for swine divine such a view maps your own thin red line. And should you delight in a spirit that's free, in peace shall you roam across earth, land and sea. I hum with my earth as I'm tossed through the waves, tones roaring through auras with worlds as the staves. The rhythm is time, and my pitch is free will, and tunes are the humans' spirit's notes shall fulfill.
Wow, Robin, that was incredible. That's fantastic. That's such colourful, beautiful language there. So picturesque. If you could see Robin inside the studio right now, she's just all heart and crazy wiry hair, which you might pick up from there. There are heaps and heaps of themes within that to tell us who you are. So let's talk with your lineage. Tell me where is your family from?
Okay, well, my mother's family, which is the Indigenous mob, is from Tasmania. We don't have, like, a great deal of detail because of all the wonderful, amazing history of Tasmania that is really very, very heartbreaking. And my father is from Tanzania. So we've got the T's and A's sewn up.
Yeah, right. And was the language you used in there, was that?
Baba Yangu Mpendwa, which was my dear father.
Right, okay.
Yeah, I object to having to speak English, even though that's the language I was, you know, brought up with or whatever. But it doesn't in no way reflects how I see the world, how I experience it. I find it a little bit vicious and violent, which is probably why I write.
Right.
So that I can wrangle it into matching it with how I feel and how I see the world. So I do pick up bits. That was a little bit of Swahili.
Swahili, right.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, every time I hear language, you know, from various parts of country around Australia, I'm just like, I am straight there. I don't even have to know the word. It just somehow resonates with me.
Mm, yeah, and incredible. I mean, you and I met doing No Sugar, right? And so there was lots of Noongar language in there. And that did that. I mean, I'm not from those parts. I'm Wiradjuri, but that language took me there as well. And then equally within your poem, you know, just having that one line in there, it just transports you there straight away. So tell us. So now you're a writer. So you're a poet, but you are far more than that. You are one of the most creative women I've ever met. What other ways do you storytell?
Oh, you just need to have a coffee with me, eh? I'll tell you thousands of stories. Some of the other ways, well, I've been acting, obviously, with you. And when in my very early days as a kid, I danced, and boy, did I dance nonstop. 7 days a week, you name it. I used to dance on the Early Bird Show, eh?
Is that right?
Seriously. Yeah, every second Thursday, I used to have to get out of bed at 5 a.m. and pull out two new dancers on the show. It was pretty exciting.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, so a lot of theatrical dancing and stuff like that. I was really full on into it. Right up until probably high school became a really bit tricky. And you know, I started to step out of the creative space around about that time. I didn't want people to look at me because I was continuously tokenized. You know, I had to be like the Zulu queen, I had to be like Indian, I had to be Malaysian, I had to be everything that wasn't white.
Yeah, no, look, I mean, that was the industry, wasn't it? I mean, gladly now it's changing the landscape slightly. I mean, having said that, we've just done an all-Indigenous casted play. Mm-hmm. But yeah, certainly the landscape is changing. Now, in terms of your storytelling, where did that start? What compelled you to start writing poems, dancing, acting?
If you see me, you'll see that I'm quite animated. I've got like all kinds of things going on. So my adoptive family, because yeah, you know, I didn't get to grow up actually with my family. My adoptive family just, you know, they saw an opportunity there and they just, you know, put me on the stage and, you know, lived their dreams through me. So it was already in my personality, but it got taken into something. You know how, like, you know, if a kid's good at any particular sport, then all of a sudden sometimes the parents just, there you go, that's what you're going to do forever, and you're going to get to the Olympics or get to the AFL or whatever the thing is. Well, that was what happened with my family. My adoptive family were not very experienced, in fact completely inexperienced at dealing with blackfellas, and they told me all kinds of bizarre and strange things, and so they always thought, you know, they threw me into those stereotypical roles in everything I did. But I was already, you know, I clearly had a talent for it and a love of it, but by the time I was, you know, as I started to get older, I was getting like it would becoming a burden instead of a joy. And so I stepped back. But I've always, I taught myself to read when I was 3 years old. And I read every single thing I could find.
A bit like Matilda Wormwood.
Yeah, and so it was always going to be that I was going to be a writer if I was going to be going about life like that. I used to read the dictionary, the phone book, you name it, everything. I tried to read the Bible. I didn't get very far. I'm sorry about that. It was just after all the begats and all kinds of different things happened, I was like, oh. And then I did what they told us in Sunday school compared to what I read in the Bible was very different. I got really annoyed because I'm generally free, fairly easygoing, but when someone starts with untruths that aren't necessary, I get, you know, get a big brick wall up from me. And I'm just like, nah, don't want anything to do with that anymore. Just never going to get the truth.
Well, I mean, you can certainly hear in your poems that you have quite an eloquent use of the language, but I find that it's really beautifully coloured.
We'll be back in a second talking to Robin Murray on Joy 94.9.
Hi, this is Alfie Akuri. You're listening to Urban Dreaming on Joy.
Hi there. You're on Joy 94.9 in Melbourne, streaming on joy.org.au or available via the Joy app. Surumi and Miscellaneous are away. So if you're just joining us, my name's Matt Coleman. I'm here with Chris, who is always here. And we're joined by the beautiful Robin, who is an incredible poet. But before we go there, I just want to give a big shout out to Tony, who won some tickets to Yirrumboy. Thank you for your very kind words, Tony. I really appreciate it. You're really going to love that show on Thursday, the 11th of May at the Meat Market. So, Robin, we were talking about your poem, My Earth, so that we could get to know you a little bit more. Now, there's been lots of talk about within your poem about the colour of your skin and how crazy your hair is and where you fit in the world. How have you gone about that in the last couple of months? Because I know that you, just before the break, we were talking about how you stepped away from your creative juices and moved away from the creative world into the corporate world. What made you feel the fear and do it anyway and come back into the creative world?
I'll tell you a really quick story, and that was... I used to have a MySpace page. Remember those things? Yeah, and you know what it used to say? It just had a picture of me, and it's like, you know, hi, my name's Robin. I'm looking for my dad. If you see him, can you tell him I'm looking for him? Seriously? And I just had his name there because I just really, really wanted to be able to find out who he was.
Yep.
And this lady that I met from the US, but I never actually met her, I just met her online, and we've been such amazing friends ever since. That's quite a while ago. And she asked me once to comment on a blog that was the question by a university, what's it like to be black in Australia? And what does it mean to be black in Australia? And they didn't expect what they got. They got people all of a sudden just saying, oh, my God, because that question had not been asked of anyone. And people talked about their experiences. And I sat down to write a comment because she asked me to. 3,000 words later, there's a story on a blog that I wrote called Go Home, You Black Bitch, because it's the most frequent thing that was said to me, even though this is my country. So you see why this is my country. The earth called me here. I am here where I'm supposed to be. You know, that's why that poem's so very, like, there's nothing wrong here. You guys are missing the point.
Yeah, of course. And I mean, like, urban dreaming, that's exactly what this this whole radio segment is built on, is that idea that, you know, we don't own the earth. The earth owns us. We come second to that. And it is our experiences on this beautiful earth that we have that allows us, you know, our time here. And you talk so incredibly beautifully about the earth. Where's your favorite place, Robin?
It's on Boonerang land. Faulkner Park. I am just so hooked on that one piece of earth. And I met someone not very long ago who told me a bit of the story and, you know, and how, because it's interesting because, you know, my people from Tasmania, and before Tasmania was separate from the mainland, you know, they were the same people. So there's a bit of an ancestral link, and they, you know, tell me a little bit of a story of, you know, a bowl broke or something and whatever, and that's how the two pieces of earth got separated. And traditionally, since forever, that piece of earth, from what I understand, has always been a community gathering space, a place where there's been a women's circle. Because I was, stolen, adopted, whatever you want to say there, I have a lot of trouble connecting with people, really, and trusting that they will be there. But that piece of earth, it's home in a way, but I know it's not like my 100% home, but it is like the thing that I am so mostly completely connected to. It's like the loudest piece of earth I've ever walked on.
Yeah, and I mean, and that's ultimately it, isn't it? That you know, you can take away all of our worldly possessions, but we've still got that great connection to the earth. And you do talk, your speech is electric when you talk about that piece of land there. Have you got another piece of poetry that that talks about the land that you love? Can you tell people, actually, we've been talking about the poem My Earth. For those who have just started listening, Robin, can you tell them where they can find your poem?
Oh, I have a little blog. Very amateur.
Give it a plug.
Oh, I'll give it a plug. It's Jambo Robin, so that's jambobryn.wordpress.com. It's just one of those free ones, you know, whatever. It's a little blogging community. Although just a month or so ago, they featured me on their Discover, and all of a sudden I have lots and lots of new followers. So I'm hoping that somehow I'll write something new to entertain them. We've had lots of experiences recently that will have inspired me. So there'll be a few things. I've been writing quite a lot. And I'll tell you right now, the theme is, I believe.
You believe. There we go. Well, I believe, Robin, that you write some of the most beautiful stuff I've ever read or listened to. So if you are listening out there, you did miss out on hearing her poem, My Earth, but you can find her on that blog. Again, tell them what it is.
Jamborobin.wordpress.com.
And we will also put this up on a podcast, which you can get on iTunes. So give us a 5-star rating after you download Robin's poem. That'll be amazing. You were saying that you had WordPress featured you and you got a lot more followers. Was there much interest internationally about what goes on over here?
Yeah, pretty much most of the people who read my blog are from overseas. It's very rare that I have any Australian people come and have a look at what I'm doing, which is why I thought I was quietly, sneakingly sitting away, just trying stuff out, talking to my fellow bloggers, you know, whatever, going under the radar, you know. And I didn't really have any understanding. Like, it's feedback from people like Matt and a few different other people. And recently my mother has discovered that I've got a blog and she's a writer, so that's mind-blowing for me that she's actually read it, and she didn't say anything negative, so that's okay. I don't think I've ever taken myself seriously, because my poetry is something that is not for anyone. It is an expression of me, and it's me trying to understand the world and my place in it and how. Yeah, and I think in a form that's much closer to poetry than, you know, big long sentences and things like that. It's very, you know, condensed, and I see lots of recurring themes. And so when I see the same theme going around and around, you know, I ask myself, and then quite often I go to Faulkner Park and I have a little chat to, you know, the earth, the trees, all the little animals, the birds, just hang around for a bit. And before I know it, there is, like, I have to run to write down what is coming through, and it always, always comes out in one big long go, and then it's done. And it's like just a little, so it's kind of, what do they call that? Stream of consciousness writing.
Stream of
writing.
Consciousness writing, yeah.
So I love it when it comes out in rhyme, though. That's just wild.
Yeah, that, I mean, that's the way that I write. But on that, I sort of feel like sometimes I have Pocahontas moments. I was listening to Colours of the Wind the other day, and it sort of just hit me, obviously, you know, that's a Native American Indian of the same ilk as us. But, you know, you think you own whatever land you land on. And then when she goes on to talk about, you know, have you ever heard the wolf cry to the blue corn moon and all these different things, I'm like, wow, that's so important here that we get so busy with our day that we don't stop to listen and respect and learn what the earth and the animals and the place around us is actually telling us. There's so much white noise, traffic. We've got our blinders on, and we never get to sort of just sit in nature with that.
I've got one for you on that if you've got time.
Yeah, beautiful.
Okay,
let's hear it.
It's not very long. It's called "It Begins and Ends with Awe."
There you go.
This is very much how I experience the world, 100%. The earth people keep calling me. The sky responds with my voice. Water passes everything along. The sun people are blinding me. The stars look through my eyes, and fire is making everything dance. The wind is refashioning reality. Seeds, cells, and leaves go on a world tour. Weather is transforming everything. And too many ways to enumerate. Existences, vistas, vibrations, echoes, cracking and snapping weary worldviews. Impossible to remain connected to one idea when every particle of life is radiating infinite waves of mystery in its wake. It begins and ends with awe. And suddenly I'm doubled over with laughter. Clearly nothing of any value can ever be taken to the bank.
That's incredible.
God, I love a good onomatopoeia. I love it. That's such colourful, colourful language. It just, for me with that, it just connects from your heart through your laryngeal nerve right up to your voice box. And I mean, I crap on about this to you all the time, Robin, but I just love everything about the way that you write. And hopefully you guys out there listening to Urban Dreaming think the same thing. I find it just to be so incredible. Where were you when you wrote that?
Oh, definitely. I had to be in Faulkner Park when that one got inspired. So, like, and every time the weather does something that other people are upset with, I am, like, imagining what is happening, and I love it.
It's amazing that something that you do for yourself connects so well. Like, I'm quite affected by it. Matt is in awe of you. Like, you write this for yourself, but it really, it just permeates, it connects with everyone who hears it.
I notice the keywords on my blog, like the most often tags that I use or the things that whatever, and it's all about, and I think this is what I've been trying to teach myself, it is absolutely okay, and it's more than okay, it is perfectly right to be.
That's exactly right. I agree with that absolutely. I mean, in terms of using your voice, it's ultimately your gift is to use your voice to encourage others to have theirs, and your what you're going through and what you write there is absolutely going to energetically hit a million people, and they're going to take something different from it every time, and that's the beauty of your poetry.
Well, I think it's my job anyway, like, lately. I keep getting forced into it, and I love it.
You're on Urban Dreaming on Joy 94.9. We've got special guest host Matt Coleman with us today and joined by the amazing poet Robin Murray. We'll be back right after this. Thank you. That's from the Desert Divas soundtrack. You can get that on iTunes. It's out through Karma Music. Shana Ray, Flowers Will Bloom on Joy 94.9. You're listening to Urban Dreaming across Melbourne on 94.9 FM or streaming on joy.org.au or via the Joy app. We've had a couple of texts in on 0427JOY949. Join the conversation. Hit us up with a text or an email on air at joy.org.au. A couple of memberships has come through while we've been on air. David from Reservoir, thank you so much for renewing online. And Stephen from Melbourne, you are also very, very much thanked. Is that right?
And welcomed.
Thank you so much for supporting Joy and keeping us out loud and proud. We're joined by special guest host Matt Coleman.
Yeah.
And also Robin Murray, an amazing poet. And we have more poetry to come. We're very lucky, Matt.
Oh, my God. My creative juices are flowing and it's not even my poetry. I've been loving it. So in the break, we got Robin to find one of her earlier pieces of poetry. And this is a little bit of fun for you guys listening out there. What's this one called, Robin?
It's called Future. It's something I wrote in high school. Hey,
There we go. Let's hear this one.
Is there anyone out there who could possibly help me? I'm stuck in a dilemma and quite unintentionally. It occurred to me at night in my most recent of pasts that I don't know what future is or how long it lasts. It happened soon after someone I know said, if you don't plan for future, before you know it, you'll be dead. Then all of a sudden it struck me like lightning. The prospect of dying is really quite frightening. If it can be prevented by planning and plotting, then I've got more to ponder than premenstrual spotting. In fluster and flurry, I race to my bed and bounce the word future around in my head. Then the awful realization of inadequate education hit like a time bomb with complete exasperation. I fumbled and floundered as I tried hard to think. Between future and me, I could find no real link. Who is he? What is it? Where did it go? If future is somewhere, then how can I know? If it's time that we're talking, is it a minute past seven? Is it early next year or 3011? And what should I make of the time I once heard? You've got no future, said to some kind of nerd. Who gets to decide whether you get one or don't? If I have to pass a test, then I probably won't. And how can it hold things if you can't put things in it? Like babies and jobs, the possibilities are infinite. When my mother tries to tell me, in future eat your beans, then I will if I could work out what the hell future means.
Oh, I love
high
it.
High school.
Oh, cheeky high school Robin. I reckon that with that big smile across your face, that you're just as cheeky now as you were back then.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, well, listeners of Urban Dreaming, that was my great friend Robin Murray, an incredible writer, dancer, actor. Robin, where can they read your stuff? What's your blog?
That's at Jambo Robin. You know, that's the same as like Hello Kitty, but Swahili, Jambo Robin. JamboRobin.wordpress.com.
All right. Very good. Well, thank you so much for coming in and filling the airways with those incredible, incredible words.
You're so welcome. Thank you so much for having me. It's just been wild.
Oh, you're welcome.
It's been an absolute privilege and honour listening, like watching you do your poetry. So not just hearing it, but able to watch you. Like you said, you're very animated and you just come alive.
It's very hard to sit still.
Definitely.
Yeah, the energy in this this studio is a bit electric right now.
Matt, thank you for joining us. Like, coming in, I was abandoned by my bays, Suri and miscellaneous, but you've come in and seamless. Suri, don't come back next week, mate. We're covered.
Go away. No, thank you. Thank you so much for having me. Thanks for listening to me, you guys out there listening to Urban Dreaming. I'll leave you with this note. Come at the world with open palms and an open heart, and it will receive you with that. Thanks so much. Have a great night.
Matt, thank you. Robin, thank you. You've been listening to Urban Dreaming on Joy 94.9. We've got the crew. I was about to say the guys, but Ruby definitely is not a guy. We've got the crew coming up with Triple Bypass after this. You're on Joy 94.9. Good night.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.